This is an RNZ podcast.
There is a well-established principle now called the unbearable asymmetry of bullshit. And that's a principle where
unbearable asymmetry of BS. Yeah. How does that
work? So that's a story like this one that comes out. It gets a huge amount of attention, a huge amount of press. It builds up a whole lot of false hope for patients that are dealing with horrible disease. And then people like me the next day have to come and try and hose it off, throw cold water all over it. It takes 10 times as much effort to hose it down as it does to generate the hype in the first place.
That was cancer scientist Dr. Darren Saunders on Australian Current Affairs show The Drum last week, responding to a news story that claimed an Israeli biotech company had discovered a cure for cancer. The story, originally published in the Jerusalem Post, was picked up around the world. In New Zealand, both News Hub and the New Zealand Herald reported on their websites, with the Herald headlining its story like this.
Israeli scientists claim cure for cancer just a year away.
The article quoted Accelerated Evolution Biotechnologies chairman Dan Arador as saying,
"Our cancer cure will be effective from day one, will last a duration of a few weeks and will have no or minimal side effects at a much lower cost than most other treatments on the market."
Extraordinary stuff. But as Dr. Saunders and many others pointed out, it's almost certainly bullshit and nothing more than a biotech company's crass attempt to boost its share price. Writing on the Forbes magazine website, childhood cancer survivor and cancer scientist Victoria Forbes said bogus claims of cancer cures were all too common.
"We're used to fielding questions about everything from baking soda to lemons curing cancer, often from desperate cancer patients or their families. It is frankly heartbreaking."
Dr. Forbes went on to say that the claim of a single cure for the more than 200 different types of cancer should have set off alarm bells. Well, those alarm bells appear to be inaudible to some in the New Zealand media.
"If I got cancer today, I'd find some money to have that drug and to basically reboot my life."
That was Duncan Garner on 3's AM show the Thursday before last. And no, he wasn't referring to the Israeli company's miracle drug.
Earlier in the show, we spoke to cancer survivor Lisa Renwick, who couldn't speak highly enough of a drug that she took, dabrafenib, which is still not publicly funded, but it saved her life. An astonishing story. There's nothing we need to know about that. She's still alive years on.
Anyone listening to that interview would have been left with the impression that dabrafenib, which New Zealand's drug-buying agency Pharmac has yet to approve, is close to miraculous when it comes to curing melanoma.
That first drug that you took, that was the punch that killed this thing off, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It was amazing. I mean, I started taking it, I was literally on my deathbed, and the next day I was standing up.
So why hasn't dabrafenib been funded? Well, according to the publicly available minutes of the Pharmac Specialist Committee that considered the medicine for funding,
dabrafenib provided a small 2.4-month increase in progression-free survival compared with the currently funded dacarbazine. The subcommittee considered that the magnitude of the benefit was disappointing and the price being requested was very high for such benefit.
The Lisa Renwick interview kicked off a series of stories on the AM show that saw Duncan Garner championing calls for an increase in the number of cancer drugs being funded in New Zealand. Later that same morning, he interviewed Professor John Zalkberg, who heads up Melbourne's Monash University Cancer Research Program. Professor Zalkberg is concerned that New Zealanders are missing out on life-saving drugs.
"If we looked at survivals in New Zealand and compared them to Australia, what would have been the outcome? And the outcomes are quite different, and dramatically so. And, you know, thousands of deaths, if the survivals in New Zealand were the same as Australia, thousands of deaths would have been avoided. The cause of that's multifactorial. There are going to be lots of factors, but certainly one of the important ones is access to medicines."
Sobering and thought-provoking statistics. And Duncan Garner was in no doubt as to the importance of the interview.
"In the 18 months or so that we've been on air, I want to say this, this to me is the most crucial interview that I've done on this program, because if life is about life or death, then this matters to every New Zealander, because we've all lost loved ones. I lost my father to cancer. 8 years ago, and there may well be a drug. And I was through the system. I saw the system up close and personal, and this matters to every New Zealander because we've all been affected by this."
And at the end of the interview, Duncan Garner put the boot into Pharmac.
"To me, what you're telling me is, and you probably won't use these words, but I will, it's almost negligence on behalf of the agency in terms of New Zealanders' lives. Can I put that to you?"
All I would say is that I think there's a cultural issue, that if we sit down together and say that the responsibility of society is to look after the frail, the ill, the sick, the elderly, that's our first responsibility. Yes, the drugs are expensive. And yes, some of them aren't that good. Some of them are dramatic, and they're not here.
So is Pharmac negligent? Is there a culture problem in New Zealand's health system that puts saving money ahead of saving lives? Well, to make up your mind on those questions, you'd need to hear from Pharmac, or one of its many champions in the health sector. And those interviews have been in short supply on the AM show. Otago University Professor of Public Health, Nick Wilson, told Media Watch he'd welcome a review into New Zealand's drug-buying agency.
A review of Pharmac would be good, as it is the envy of the world, and a well-publicised report could encourage other countries to adopt such a model. Some of these other OECD countries are wasting billions of dollars a year because they don't have a Pharmac equivalent. Taxpayer funds saved by Pharmac allow for investment in other parts of the health sector, which is a big plus.
Duncan Garner introduced his interview with Professor Zoutberg with this truly alarming claim.
Cancer is New Zealand's deadliest disease, but of particular, it's worse than many other places around the world. In fact, the cancer rate in this country is 62% higher than the world average. Why is that?
But that question was neither asked or answered in the following interview, and it's hard to know exactly what Duncan Garner was referring to. A recent global study did find that New Zealand was behind only Australia in terms of the number of cancers per 100,000 people, but the same study found that Syria had the lowest rate of cancer in the world. Countries with high life expectancy and good screening programs, for obvious reasons, have higher rates of cancer than those that don't. The fact that New Zealand has nine times as many diagnosed cases of cancer than Syria isn't a sign that that war-ravaged country is winning the battle against cancer. A more relevant measure in terms of how the health system is dealing with cancer is survival rates. And a recent international study of cancer survival rates, Concord 3, found that
for most cancers, five-year net survival remains among the highest in the world in the USA and Canada, in Australia and New Zealand, and in Finland, Iceland, Norway and Sweden.
With Otago University Wellington hosting a major conference on cancer in the capital last week, there was no shortage of cancer-related stories in the media. On Saturday, RNZ's Kim Hill spoke to Richard Sullivan, a professor of cancer and global health at King's College London, who sounded a word of caution when it came to funding expensive new drugs.
Some drugs are coming with enormous uncertainty about what sort of benefit they really deliver to patients. But of course, they're coming in with huge uncertainty about that, but huge price tags. So countries and people are being asked to pay a great deal of money for the unknown. Mm. And a lot of that unknown is doesn't pan out. When we look backwards over sort of 2 or 3 years, we discover the drugs actually don't work.
And Professor Sullivan went on to say that the British government had caved into pressure from patient groups and the pharmaceutical industry to create a special drug fund to fast-track expensive cancer medicines with very disappointing results. But that experience has done little to dampen the calls for more funding for new drugs.
Because it's very hard, I think, if you're a patient listening to this and thinking, well, hang on a minute, surely that may have given my mother or father an opportunity for a few months of life. And it's often hard to explain that, you know, these are just very small components of an overall treatment pathway. And these were being held up as magic bullets. The cancer drugs was going to come out and you're going to suddenly see great improvements in your outcomes. That's not what we saw.
And stories about Kiwis missing out on potentially life-saving drugs are a perennial story here too. On the AM show on Monday, Duncan Garner called for an inquiry into Pharmac.
23,000 Kiwis got cancer last year and 9,000 will die. It's our greatest killer, but it's not on the top five priorities of the Ministry of Health. We're getting world-class shafted here. We're getting third-class medicines. Why? A woman with stage 4 breast cancer will live 5 years in Holland, but just 13 months here. So 5 years in Holland and 13 months here. We should be outraged at this.
The following day, Duncan Garner asked Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, who was at Waitangi, whether she would support a select committee inquiry into Pharmac.
Well, at the moment, the Select Committee is already responding to a petition that's been brought to it, and that's made up from politicians across Parliament. But at the same time, you know, we do have a system, I think, and that has been continually pointed to as being the envy of others, in that it keeps it separate from politics. It bases decisions on evidence, and these are hard decisions.
But Duncan Garner was having none of it.
We're getting third-class treatment, though, Prime Minister. But Australia approves 24 drugs in the time that we're still looking at one.
And Duncan Garner is far from alone in thinking New Zealand should fund more cancer drugs. On Tuesday of last week, he spoke to Dr. Fatima Cardoso, a world authority on terminal breast cancer, who pointed out the poor survival rates of stage 4 breast cancer sufferers in New Zealand.
In my perspective, being a foreigner, New Zealand is for me a developed country. And the average survival of a patient with stage 4 or advanced disease is about 3 years. And in New Zealand, it's about 16 months.
Dr. Cardoso told Duncan Garner a lack of expensive new drugs was part of the explanation for the difference in survival rates.
For sure, access to new treatments that are efficacious is a major part of it. It might be also a mentality, both probably from those who treat, but also from the patient side.
On Sunday, One News also reported Dr. Cardoso's concerns and updated listeners on the current status of two of the drugs the oncologist felt would be life-extending for some breast cancer sufferers.
Pharmac says Ibrance and Kadcyla have been recommended for funding, but for a limited group of patients. A decision is expected by the end of the month.
Cancers and their treatments is a complicated and emotionally charged topic, throwing around words like negligence and third rate, claiming we're being shafted and demanding outrage without providing anything like balance, isn't doing anyone any favours.